Welcome to Idle Red Hands, a podcast from Japan about gaming and gamer life. And welcome back to Idle Red Hands. I'm Chris.
I'm Wayne.
I'm La.
How you guys doing?
All right.
Pretty good. Yourself?
Oh, I'm doing all right. to the listeners, we apologize for the noise. We're in the middle of a typhoon right now.
Yeah.
Lots of wind going on outside.
Yeah. Lots of garbage blowing.
Not garbage, recyclables.
Sure, some flags are going to start flying off.
Yeah, I liked your previous commentary about how, why is Japan such a flag culture when they have typhoons?
Yeah.
Yeah, the number of flags that I've seen just lying sodden on the ground at various times in the year.
And shirts and futons and things hung out to dry. And,
yeah. You
know. Yeah, exactly.
Which reminds me, I think I have a towel outside now.
Yes, we're now in the midst of rainy season.
Yes, yes.
And a typhoon has hit, which only adds to the rain and the wind. Yeah. Just tears those umbrellas apart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good day to be inside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did anybody else do anything interesting?
I went to Okinawa.
Oh, that's right.
Which was nice. Rained a lot.
I think that trumps your news.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, so let's talk about that instead.
Yeah. It's official. I have a Japanese last name now.
Oh, great.
I am now Narita. Yeah.
Woo. Congratulations.
Yeah. Just like the airport.
Yep. Just like the airport. Same kanji and everything.
Wow, same. Oh, all right.
That part is actually really cool. I'm kind of happy to have, I have kanji.
I got to see a movie.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
How was movie?
All right. The joke was I got to see Jessica's Buddy 2.
Pause for laughter.
Yeah, with non-existent laughter.
Did you just say Jennifer's body or Jessica's body?
Whatever, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, there's no salvaging this joke.
No, there is another. So anyway, not even going to do it now, all right. So.
But I'm on the edge of my seat.
No, you're not. Anyway.
So you saw a movie.
Yeah.
That wasn't Jessica's Body 2.
No.
Because it wasn't a Jessica's Body 1.
All right, God damn it!
What movie was it, Wayne?
I had to sit through Letters to Juliet, which was pretty lame. The only reason I brought that up is because while I was watching the movie, the main actress, Amanda Seyfried, I was, like, watching her, like, I know her from somewhere. Where do I know her from? And then, coming over here, it hit me. Oh, yeah, she was the main character from Jennifer's Body. So, kind of a very different movie.
Am I thinking the wrong one, or wasn't that Megan Fox?
No, Megan Fox was
Megan Fox's
Megan
friend
Fox's
in Jennifer's
friend.
Body.
Oh.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't see Megan Fox as the main character.
I see. I didn't see the movie, so I don't know. But okay.
Well, all right, so you don't have a leg to stand on. But anyway, yeah. Anyway, yeah, there was no Megan Fox in Letters to Juliet. That would have made it better. Cool. I don't recommend seeing that movie.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for that.
I think it's like it's a romance movie, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it was a danger of people rushing out.
No.
Yeah. I think any guy that goes out to watch that is being
something
dragged
called
there.
Something called Letters from Juliet is...
Yeah. It did even have the obligatory fear that there might not be a happy ending. Mm. You knew from pretty much page one that this story was going to end happily.
So. I watched the new Karate Kid with Saudi last night.
Oh, you mean Best Kid?
Best Kid, yeah. The Japanese title.
Oh, with Will Smith?
Yes, yeah.
Real Kid.
Jackie Chan's good. I like Jackie Chan.
Yeah. First movie was good. I like that. Yeah. Second movie, Karate Kid 2 was pretty good, too.
Karate Kid 3?
Really?
Three with the one with the chick?
I think so.
No, don't remember watching it.
Blocked it from your mind.
That pretty much tells you its quality, then, yeah.
There was a point we were talking about movies, though. Oh, well, all right, one thing I was, I guess, kind of looking forward to over the summer was Transformers 3.
Why?
Well, Michael Bay has promised it's going to be better than Transformers 2, and we all know, we can all believe
Transformers 3, the apology.
It might as well be. Now, I forget what Transformers 3 is called. It's called, like, The Dark of the Moon or something.
They shot it in Chicago.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, a bunch of my friends are down there. They took a bunch of pictures of it and put them up on Facebook and such.
What were they pictures of? Just like the trucks?
No, actually, like they blow up a lot of stuff, as any Michael Bay movie does. Yeah. So, you know, there's lots of like fake destroyed buildings laying around and dusting. One guy did a short video on his iPhone, and he got like a bunch of soldiers running across the bridge shooting things.
Oh, that would actually be pretty cool to see.
Definitely. Like, it's fun watching movies being made, even if the movies turn out to be crap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think...
which is already a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, it's a foregone conclusion, right? I think the movie I saw being made was 12 Monkeys.
Oh, cool.
Because that was filmed in Philadelphia. So they had blocked off, like, the stuff around City Hall. And it was summertime, but City Hall had, like, snow all over it. Because there was that scene where it's supposed to be snowing.
Oh, okay, and, yeah.
Interesting.
Same day when I was in Spider-Man 2. Everybody was dressed up in winter gear.
Mm. Man, that must have sucked if you're walking around in summer with winter gear.
Oh, well, I wasn't actually supposed to be in it. I snuck onto set, so I was in regular
winter. So we might actually see you.
I am in the movie, yeah. I'm a silhouette in the background.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah, unfortunately. But it is me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Anyway, as I was saying before, there was a point we were kind of talking about movies. Wasn't there?
Yes, there was. Yep. Yeah.
Took us a while to get there, but...
So today we're going to talk about... I didn't know I was responsible for this segue.
Sorry.
We're getting better at this.
Yeah.
He's the one who wrote Segway on his notes, not me.
Didn't mean I had one. Just means one goes here.
You see, that's one of those times when you like write something down on a sheet, like, be intelligent here. Say something funny at this point.
Witty comeback.
Oh, you have pause for laughter after you
guys do funny too. At the bottom, I have pause for applause. Wait for a standing ovation to finish.
Gosh, this might be a 2-hour episode. There'd be so much laughter.
Well, it will be if you keep ragging on me.
So, today we're... there's actually a lot of comic book movies coming out this summer. And I guess Transformers 3 kind of falls into this vein a little bit in that it's a cartoon. Yeah. It's made into a movie. So we thought we'd discuss what about making pen and paper role-playing games into movies.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
What are the inherent problems with
doing that?
Doing that, and also what would be our dream movies?
Oh, yeah.
I'm share those. And then, of course, the other two people will probably point out flaws and why that would be a dream movie. And then we're just going to talk about the hobby in general and using licensed products. So... Mm. So what do you think would be some of the... I mean, there has been a couple of movies made from games, such as Dungeons & Dragons 1 and 2.
Can you really call that...
There was a 2?
There was a 2.
There was a 2.
Really?
I think it was straight to video.
Huh.
There's also Mutant Chronicles.
Which was also probably straight to video.
There's a Mutant Chronicles, sorry.
And then there was Midnight Chronicles.
Cool. And Twilight for Vampire.
No.
Yeah, exactly. So. Well, Underworld became Vampire. Yeah. But The Kindred, there was an Aaron Spelling TV series in the 90s called The Kindred.
True Blood.
Was that a game?
No, series. TV series.
Yeah, but it's not based on Vampire the Requiem.
Well, they're similar. These are actually, were directly, you know, so in the opening credits it would say, based on the game Vampire the Masquerade, and that was Kindred. I think it was only 6 episodes.
Okay. It was canceled, or it was just a miniseries?
Two things happened. I think, one, it was canceled, but also the lead actor, something Frankel, he died in a motorcycle accident, and he played the main character, Ventru, and he was actually pretty good in it.
That'll put a stop to your project.
Yeah, but I also think people just didn't get it. There was, like, problems, you know, they didn't really understand what the different clans are supposed to mean. And
they didn't read the source material. Jeez.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I haven't seen Mutant Chronicles, but it was kind of savaged by the critics and didn't do so well.
Hmm.
It does have Thomas Jane in it.
Sorry, refresh my memory. Who's that?
Maybe there was another problem. He was the not the most recent Punisher movie, but the Punisher movie prior to that.
Oh.
He was the Punisher. He was in Deep Blue? No. What's the one with the shark?
That one was Deep Blue.
Yeah.
You know, the intelligent sharks, right?
Yes.
Yes, yeah, yes.
He was in that.
I think I remember him, though.
He's also in Arrested Development playing himself. Oh. Not ringing a bell, eh?
No.
So I haven't seen that, but I did see the Midnight Chronicles, which, surprising, and this is quite surprising, what you can find in a Japanese video store is Mutant Chronicles. Somebody thought to slap Japanese subtitles onto that movie, and it was in my local video store. So I thought, wow, you know, Midnight Chronicles. Midnight Chronicles. Mm-hmm. So based off the Fantasy Flight Games RPG Midnight for the D20 system. Mm-hmm. And watch that.
I see. I don't know the game or the movie, but cool.
I think Christian Peterson, who also made Twilight Imperium 3.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So one of the big the big cheeses of Fantasy Flight Games. He had a hand in writing it.
Oh, wow.
It's not good.
Yeah. I won't look it up then.
Yeah. And then, of course, I've seen both Dungeons & Dragons movies.
I haven't seen either.
I'm sorry for you. I've seen the first one.
Yeah, that's a good comeback.
The second one is actually better.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But, I mean...
Key phrase, the second one is better than the first one. Yeah. That does not mean the second one is good.
Mm. Yeah, it's not a good movie by any stretch, but this actually kind of leads into the problems of making a movie out of a game, an RPG, a role-playing game, in that sometimes what can make for a very interesting and compelling game and very fun adventure does not necessarily translate to another medium, such as a book or a movie. So, a lot of adventures that we play that we enjoy when we're sitting around the table... They rely on a lot of cliches and that, which when you're actually watching it, someone else doing it, just seems tired and uninteresting.
Yeah.
And Dungeons and Dragons 2 was more faithful to the source material, but it was kind of like being faithful to the system as opposed to any one of the settings. And that was the big knock of the first movie, is that there was all these different settings that they could have placed it in.
Well, I said it before, but the big problem with them. Dungeons and Dragons movies, that it was just a bad movie.
No, okay. All right.
Broad sweeping generalization.
Like I said before, it was poorly written. They didn't get any good actors for it. You know, there was...
Hey, one of the Wayans brothers.
Siskel and Narita. Right. And another thumbs down, because it was bad. I thought it didn't make enough use of the setting when making this a movie, and Chris thought it was bad.
I'm really sorry to trash a movie you enjoyed so much, obviously, but... No, I mean, it was bad. That's what I'm going to say about it. Yeah.
I thought it was overly long, and the villains lacked motivation. Chris thought it was... bad.
I don't know why you need so many words.
So, I mean, that touches on, of course, I guess a big problem of making a movie is don't make it bad. People should be, for you aspiring filmmakers out there,
don't make bad movies.
Don't make bad movies. But, I guess, more specifically, when we're talking about making a movie out of an RPG, I think, one of the things is, just finding a compelling setting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then, I guess this might be jumping ahead, but sometimes it could be difficult to show all the intricacies of the setting. Because like you said, you translate from RPG book format into like a movie or a TV series. And, you know, the audience isn't reading the background material. They haven't built characters or they haven't look at the rules, so they haven't read all this background material that is quite interesting when you read it, so you have to show it to the audience, and doing that can be a big pitfall sometimes.
Yeah. That's hard to do a game system as well, a game system and setting as well, because it's their system is just that. It's a set of rules that it goes with. I mean, for Dungeons & Dragons movie, all they did was pull some of the names of the spells over. But a setting is also really wide. I mean, it's just that, a setting. Choosing a story in it is going to be unsatisfying for a lot of people. Where it's kind of just, it's not, how do you build a movie out of a place? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yep. Yeah. So if somebody was saying, let's make a movie out of Forgotten Realms, and you have five fans of Forgotten Realms, they'll probably each be thinking of a different part of the realms that they think would be, they would like to see in the movie. And of course, you're not going to do some sort of travelogue.
Yeah, which is pretty common. You get like the fan rage and such.
Yeah. But
even that, even though if you have a great setting, let's say, for example, Forgotten Realms again, that doesn't mean by any means that you can make a good story out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Because there's a lot of exposition that you need to do, and people aren't going to sit down and read a massive prologue, or they're not going to have a map in front of them or a gazetteer and find out all these different things.
Well, I guess one thing the creators could do if they did it is, mm-hmm. we kind of touched on this in the history episode, is sort of don't try and explain stuff. You know, like background stuff is going to be mm-hmm. in the background. So people who are familiar with the setting mm-hmm. might pick up on stuff that a general audience wouldn't. And I'm drawing a blank on examples here.
But, I think a good
okay, go ahead.
A good example, although I'm not a fan of the movie, might be the Watchmen movie that was made. And that's why I kept saying to people, oh, who hasn't read the comics? Can you watch the movie and what do you tell me what you think?
Yeah.
Because there was things that I wasn't sure were quite clear.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, was that just dropped in for flavor? And it doesn't really matter to how much somebody enjoyed or didn't enjoy the movie.
It's interesting. I know we use it far too often as an example, but Star Wars is an example of that as well. I mean, George Lucas threw in a lot of material that had no background to it at all. He just put it there on screen. But that built a lot of fandom out of it. People got really into the world trying to imagine what these things meant.
Yeah, and then spinning off and talking about it.
Yeah, so that's a really good suggestion.
Yeah, I'm thinking if you do something like that where you would have to show it or, you know, show it if it's a place or hear it if it's language or something. Mm-hmm. But then, yeah, the story's not about that. It's just literally in the background of the scene. And like I said, people who are familiar with the setting will say, oh, look, there's such and such, and we'll be appeased.
Yeah.
And hopefully people who don't know about the setting will just say, wow, the people who created this world or this setting really put a lot of thought into the setting because they haven't explained what's going on in the background. Of course, I think that's the way I look at movies sometimes, and I like that kind of stuff. So maybe some people don't, where they might, you know,
very much
sit in the theater and go, what the hell did he say that for? What's going on?
No, I love that. Actually, like I said before, that I enjoy reading the fluff out of RPGs because I like imagining my own part of the world on the side. So,
but then you also got to... One thing to be careful of is like something like Star Wars, which is purely like a movie. Like he made it based off of other movies.
Mm-hmm.
But he was kind of building this world, not necessarily relying on people having seen stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a lot of times fantasy settings, they kind of build on each other.
Mm-hmm.
For example, they don't need to get into...
Base and such.
Yeah, so yeah, Lord of the Rings, those movies, and there's three books, it took three movies, and people can complain about what was in or what was out. Left out, but if you that's almost like a foundation of the modern fantasy genre.
Yeah.
So people kind of are vaguely familiar with elves and dwarves and that, but not. Mm. But a lot of game settings have kind of like spun off from that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not just elves. There's now these dark elves with white hair, and they're a matriarchal society. So the drows, and you know, they keep building and building and building. So sometimes if you're throwing, they could almost be throwing too much stuff.
Well,
out at the person.
That's true, but I mean,
because they're relying on people being vaguely familiar with, oh well, in fantasy RPGs or Dungeons and Dragons, you know, these things are a given.
You get the same kind of tropes in sci-fi, though.
Well, no, and I am talking about tropes, but I'm not talking about general tropes. I'm talking about what becomes very specific to that, to the hobby. Those hobby-specific tropes, whereas Star Wars kind of just built on general SF tropes and general. Even general fantasy tropes or general storytelling mythology tropes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the young boy and things like that.
As sci-fi has aliens, but fantasy has orcs and goblins.
Well, I think kind of what Lyle means is, like, if you go with, like, a role-playing game example, right? Like, if you pick up a new, like, role-playing game book and, like, flip through it, you might just say, okay, yeah, standard elves, dwarves, whatever. There's nothing really interesting or new here, right? So people who are sort of familiar with that genre, whatever... They would sort of need that extra layer or that twist or something being different, whereas like a general audience doesn't have that. So if you're too far away from what would be considered the baseline or the norm, they would just be completely lost.
I see.
Yeah. Thank you, Wayne.
Yeah.
It was nice how you guys tag-teamed that. Like, you took a drink when he started explaining.
I'm glad it made sense, because as I'm speaking, I'm like, is this going to make sense, or is it just going to be another one of my typical rambly nowhere points?
I got it. I don't
Please
know.
Please don't work in Jennifer's body.
All right. I did not.
Elves, dwarves, and Megan Fox.
I think that's the number one thing, is whatever we pick for our dream movies, there's got to be something that kind of hang a narrative around.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not, I know some games have a lot of game fiction, So they already have these established characters that have stories. Again, if we use Forgotten Realms as a classic example, there's Dritz Durbin, the drow.
Good. Yeah, the good drow elf ranger.
Yeah, the good drow elf ranger. Yeah, and that's actually a good point, because would that, you know, so these guys are evil? Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Oh,
yeah.
So he's a good one. Everybody seems to hate this guy. Is it because he's black? Like, what kind of message is that sending?
Yeah, actually, come to think of it, that probably wouldn't play well in theater, huh?
Yeah.
They would probably have to work in some, like, African-American Vikings or something in that story, just so it's like, it doesn't look like all these white people are just hating on the black guy.
Just, he's the best green elf there is.
Oh, because he talks like them? Is that it? Because he acts like them? Well. He rejects his culture? What kind of message is that for the... Anyway. Yeah, but there's actually somebody who's made quite a career of making a bunch of books based on this one character, so it'd be almost like just making a Conan movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it would probably be easier to make a movie out of a setting that has already had novels or other fiction written for it.
Especially if you're just going to do one of those books.
Yeah, exactly. If you're supposed to just lift it from the book, or you could at least kind of like cherry pick from these different books and cobble a story together. Whereas if you go with like a setting that has, you know, nothing written about it apart from sort of the rules menu and what's in there, that would probably be more difficult to make a movie out of.
Mm. Oh, this is true. I mean, because a lot of times they'll turn over, and I know comic book movies had this problem until they started getting these crossover writers, people who were screenwriters as well as wrote comics. Mm-hmm. An example is Goyer, David Goyer. He was involved in, like, Blade.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. But they would give it to a screenwriter, and I mean, that's that person's craft, is writing for the screen, but they have no idea who this person is.
Yeah.
So what they're looking at this material and they think, well, this is like lame. Mm-hmm. You know, no one's going to want to see this. So then they radically change the character. So then it'll please nobody because it's a very unappealing character. So even the comic book fans would not like this version of the character. Mm-hmm. So now they're starting, because they got the crossover people. They have people who are familiar with the comic books and familiar what people like and don't like. Mm-hmm. In that style of writing, plus they're also screenwriters, so they're able to translate that type of storytelling onto the screen.
I wonder how
so if there's crossover. I know Vin Diesel is a gamer, but he's not a screenwriter.
Huh.
What kind of games does Vin Diesel play?
No, he likes Dungeons & Dragons, apparently.
No kidding. Yeah. I hadn't heard that.
That just took the hobby down a notch.
I found...
Really?
Well, my opinion. I don't know, whatever.
He's made some bad movies, but I don't think he's a bad guy.
I don't know him personally.
Why are you hating on Vin Diesel, man? That's so bad.
Have you seen Pitch Black?
Yes.
Oh, and you're still hating on him. Oh, that's a good movie.
I didn't say it was a bad movie.
Oh, okay.
It was all right.
All right. Anyway.
Tangent ended.
Anyway, so it's the problem is, like, getting back to your original point, if you don't have that established narrative, like, written by, like, those established stories, then you're relying on, like, a screenwriter who may be completely unfamiliar with the game, to then look through all the source material, trying to pull out stuff to make a compelling story. Mm. They're going to be thinking about how to make a movie, not necessarily how to...
Be faithful to the setting.
Yeah, how to take your baby, the thing that you spend week after week playing, and making, you know, that little gem.
I guess you couldn't do this for every system, every setting.
Yeah.
But similar to settings that have fiction already written for them, do you think it would be easier or harder for a screenwriter to, say, take an adventure module that is kind of a story in that world setting and kind of turn that into a movie? Kind of say, here's your basic story. You know, read through this adventure thing and... That's the story we want to tell.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I don't think you could do it with a dungeon crawl module or anything like that.
Yeah,
but something like Ravenloft, that'd make a great movie.
I'm going to disagree.
Really?
And that people would go, is this Dracula?
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
I think I'm talking specifically about that one, in fact, that it is too derivative, that it actually wouldn't be a good choice. I know a lot of people... are massive fans of that setting.
I know what you're saying about like it not appealing to an audience at wide because they'd be confused about who and what Stott is. But as a story by itself, I think it would make a good movie.
I definitely agree about the dungeon crawls. I actually there was a series of books like called Tomb of Horrors and Temple of Elemental Evil, mm-hmm. and they're based off the classic modules, of course.
So they're actual books.
And they're actual books. They're, they weren't... Apparently, there was a pretty strict word count mm-hmm. on those. And so I think some of the writers complained that they weren't really... They
able
didn't have
to do
a,
anything?
Yeah, they weren't able to do anything. And the books were quite small.
That's a likely excuse, but...
And the books were quite short. And they were not very interesting. Mm. Like,
so what were they? Yeah. Were they just, like, books it was that followed?
Figure out how the adventurers get together, and mm-hmm. then they go and do the crawl. And of course, they have to really truncate the actual crawl itself.
Mm. Right.
Some of the World of Darkness adventures...
Those are definitely more like stories.
Yeah, I would say perhaps some of those could at least form a baseline.
Mm-hmm. I mean, their modules are called, what, the Storytelling Adventure System, SAS. Yeah. So, yeah, you could probably do those, or that'd be easier.
Yeah.
All right, so we've talked about movies for a little bit. So if you could turn a setting into a movie, sort of what would be your dream movie?
Mine would be Battletech.
I am so surprised.
Sorry.
I was trying to think of some kind of joke. I thought the silence spoke for itself, but okay.
I just think... it's science fiction, mm-hmm. which tends to... Well, okay, I love Battletech, so we'll get that out of the way. And I actually do read all the novels, and I think game fiction is a pretty mixed bag, but mm-hmm. I really enjoy all the Battletech books. And mm-hmm. I've read almost every book that they've made. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure there's an award for that somewhere. You have to receive it.
The reward is enjoying the books.
Yeah.
You don't get it yet because they're still making more about yeah. books. You haven't completed all of them.
What was that when you thought you had cancer for a week, like you decided you had to burn through the rest of the Battletech books?
Yeah. And I finished them. Now I gotta now I've got that big hole in my life. Cool.
You're like, I don't have cancer.
That's yeah, on the, yeah, on the one hand, I don't have cancer. On the other hand, I have no
all the Battletech books. It's a hollow victory.
It's bittersweet.
So what from Battletech would you take? What kind of a movie would you make?
Yeah, so and I do think it actually could be a decent movie in that it's science fiction, so science fiction plays better than tends to attract more of an audience than fantasy.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm.
It tends to. Fantasy's enjoying a bit of a resurgence this decade.
Yeah.
But I think that was kind of dead for quite some time.
Yeah, actually, there's a long string of them, though, like Troy, Robin Hood. They're not fantasy.
But that's not really fantasy.
Yeah.
Pure fantasy as opposed to, like,
historical fantasy
yeah. I would say. Okay. Sorry, go on,
yeah.
And they also, as I said, they have a bunch of books based off of it. So mm-hmm. there's a bunch of storylines that they can pull through. Mm-hmm. And those that are familiar with the game books know that it unlike some settings continues, like it has a continuing timeline. Mm-hmm. So they even like what Catalyst Game Labs is doing now is like for the they have like this jihad, this kind of war between the Word of Blake. Don't worry if you don't know this setting, but they're kind of like these religious fanatics. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting all these like blank looks.
so this is perfect. Preach the movie as if we're the ignorant audience, because we are.
Yeah. Oh, I'll go do the sure elevator one, pitch.
Yeah. Sure, there's one guy in Tennessee like, yeah, Battletech!
Because that's the hotbed of Battletech, Tennessee. So anyway, but what Catalyst Game Labs has done is they've released a series of game books mm-hmm. that are doing a couple things. One is they're providing material for the role-playing game and as well as the miniature game. But they're also advancing the story with each book. Mm-hmm. So so it does definitely have a strong narrative. And then there's a couple of trilogies that I would base it off of, both by Michael Stackpole, although there's some other great writers out there for Battletech, but either the Warrior Trilogy or kind of like the Blood of Kurinsky Trilogy. And the Blood of Kurinsky Trilogy is kind of like where these guys, you have the Inner Sphere, which is kind of like think of it as the known universe, mm-hmm. and these invaders come in, these mysterious invaders. And first, people don't know who they are, but then, they've just got superior technology and really good tactics, and so they're they're taking on and just taking over planet after planet after planet. Mm-hmm. And then the known universe has to kind of reunite or unite, put aside their old
rivalries
and grudges in order to combat this mysterious menace. And then they find out the big reveal is that...
Spoiler alert,
you know, although this was revealed like 2 decades ago, that the mysterious people are the clans who are actually descendants of this army that disappeared centuries before. So it's kind of like the histories come back to take over the known universe. So that, I think that would be kind of interesting because the... what the F's going on, I mean, that's what the main characters would be feeling, like, we don't know who these clans are. Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily need to show the clans, you can keep them very mysterious. One person then gets, in the trilogy, one person then gets kind of captured by the clans, which is part of their culture, where they capture, like, a good warrior, and that person can then earn their way back into being a warrior. Mm. So then you have that opportunity for exposition.
The kind of everyman character.
Yeah, so he's a stranger in a strange land, so then he learns about the clan culture because they've got to explain it to that character. Yeah. Then you can have the same thing where you have, you know, people have to reveal what... They have those big meetings, you know, we got to put aside these differences and things like that. So I think probably that would be my preference, is the Blood of Kerensky trilogy and somehow turning that into a movie or movies. Hmm. How would I elevator pitch it? I would say it's the, I don't know, the Transformers meets the Sopranos. No, I don't know. Just because Game of Thrones. I don't know. If Game of Thrones took off, I would say the Transformers meets Game of Thrones. Hmm. So if the HBO TV series was enough to name drop, then I would say that. Hmm. Because it kind of deals with the political intrigue and different factions, and that people can wrap their brains around that.
Using the stranger in a strange land as sort of like the everyman character, as sort of like the substitute audience, is a really good tactic, because sort of similar to what we said in showing all this background material, right? Like, if your audience doesn't know the setting or know what's going on, and if all the characters in the movies do, sometimes it's hard for the audience to figure out what's going on. So yeah, they need I want to say like surrogate character or like a substitute character that they can put themselves into to sort of teach them, you know, what's going on, similar to what Jake Sully in like Avatar or...
Yeah.
So they need a character like that. So I think it would be kind of hard to do a story without that kind of character, regardless of setting, if it's really kind of an unknown.
Mm-hmm. And it was one of the first trilogies that I read, so then kind... So even though I knew about the game, one of the first BattleTech books that I read was that trilogy. But even though I knew about the game, I still didn't know a lot about who the main characters were supposed to be in the world. Mm-hmm. So then,
which came first for BattleTech, the game or the books?
By the game.
Okay.
Yeah, and then they started releasing books, and they were kind of uneven at first. But then they kind of sat down and said, okay, we're telling this advancing story. What are the big plot points we need to hit? Mm-hmm. And then I believe how they worked it out with the authors is some of them would be responsible for the main plot stuff. Mm-hmm. And Michael Stackpole was one of the main guys. And then the other people could tell the surrounding stories.
Actually, I think BattleTech would probably be a good choice because...
Like, giant robots.
Yeah, exactly. Who doesn't love giant robots?
It's got giant robots. Also, that particular trilogy also has a very good space battle. Mm. So people would enjoy that.
Yeah, you definitely have the sci-fi geek crowd nailed down.
Yeah.
Who'd have thought that a role-playing game would be able to nail that group?
I'm just saying, there are sci-fi geeks who are not also role-players, you know?
There's some romance in this storyline. So you there are female characters who are not just window dressing.
Mm-hmm. So the girlfriends who get dragged along will have someone to identify with.
Right. a kind of a mix of races. Mm-hmm. So that's good. And it's not like one race is... I think in the early BattleTech, kind of when BattleTech first kind of started, kind of the Asian races were kind of the bad guys. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of turned that around and made them a little bit more complex. And probably made... I would say that both the Draconis Combine and the Capellan Confederation are probably my favorite houses now, just because they are more complex, and they kind of had like, they had the bad leaders and the good leaders, the combination, whereas some of them, they just kind of like, the one that's based off of America and France, and the other one that's very Germanic, they're just kind of these ubermen, like perfect leaders every time. So that would be mine. How about you, Wayne?
Actually, I chose something similar to Battletech. I guess I kind of broke the mold in that I didn't really go with a role-playing game. I went with a miniatures game after wrecking my brain.
But it's also a role-playing game.
It's also a role-playing game, which is the Iron Kingdoms role-playing game or the...
It started as a role-playing game.
Yes, it did, I think. Yeah. Which would be the War Machine or Hordes miniatures game.
Ah.
And similar to what we said about Battletech, who doesn't want to see giant kind of robots fighting each other? And in this case, they would be sort of giant, coal-driven, steam-powered, magical robots fighting each other.
That's pretty cool.
I thought so, too. And the thing that kind of annoyed me at first about the miniatures game was the fact that there were named characters and definite personalities in this game, which I didn't really like in a miniatures game, because I thought a miniatures game should be... No, I want to create my own force. I don't want to retell a story that's been told. I don't want to use these named characters. But I've kind of come around to it, and I guess sort of similar to Battletech, there's actually a story that happens in this world, kind of that, you know, progresses along a time period. That sounds really awkward. But anyway, there's a lot of background information that you could turn into a story for the Iron Kingdoms, and you do have these sort of named characters. So you already have stories that are told in the rule books that you could draw from to make your movie about.
Now every faction has its own story, but as we talked about a little bit earlier in the episode, is, you know, you got to pick one. Whose story would you focus on, or which faction's story would you focus on? Who are the good guys?
Probably Signar.
Yeah.
They're
kind of the British American.
Yeah, kind of the British
style.
American, whitewashed. We can't do anything wrong. Similar to what you were saying about Battletech. Yeah, they'd kind of be.
Was that a pun saying whitewashed or what?
Yeah, well, okay. I guess we'd be blue washed for Signar. But yeah, they're kind of the good guys in this one.
I agree
about something.
Yeah, well, it's steampunk. Yeah. And yeah, we'll see how successful steampunk is, because I Sucker Punch is certainly very steampunk. So part of your elevator pitch is, here's your elevator pitch that wouldn't work. It's like Sucker Punch without the attractive women.
Pretty much, yeah.
And somebody's like, yeah, and why would people go to this?
Steam Boy was pretty good. As far as steampunk genre, Steam Boy.
That's the anime?
Yeah. That's pretty good.
I think my elevator pitch would be...
I think steampunk would play in Japan, but I'm just...
Yeah.
And I'm hearing a lot of movies are... Even in Hollywood movies, they're really looking at the international market.
Mm.
So they're starting to make...
Definitely.
Definitely, like, making movies that would cater to the international as opposed to the domestic market.
Well, you heard that one about Red Sonja, yeah? They're doing a remake of Red Sonja, and they did it with the Russians and the Chinese invade America, but they spent, like, $1 million afterwards and a disgusting amount of money to edit out all of the Chinese references. Like, they changed all the Chinese flags and stuff. I think they changed it to North Korea.
Sorry, Red Sonja?
Not Red Sonja, I'm sorry.
I was thinking, like, I was like,
Red,
so...
Red Dawn, my bad.
Oh, the Red Dawn remake.
Yes,
right.
Yeah. But they took out all of the Chinese references in it because they wanted to market in China, and the government would just kick it out of the country if it would ban it if it had that, just playing China in a bad light.
Yeah.
I was really drawing a blank when you said Red Sonja there.
Yeah, sorry. that's a bit misleading.
America?
yeah. Like, wow, really? Yeah.
That's as bad as when we were talking about World of Darkness and I went on for a World of Warcraft for a half hour.
But I was going to say, but I think my elevator pitch for the Iron Kingdoms would be it's Lord of the Rings meets Transformers.
Oh, okay.
You guys are loving the Transformers mix up there.
Well, yeah. First, yeah. But I'd kind of say that the art design actually might count against it.
Okay.
And I think, like, certain factions like Menoth, they'd look actually pretty silly.
With their giant Pope hats.
With their giant Pope hats. And I think I don't think they would even make the movie. Because people would look at them and go, like, who are the guys in the Pope hats? Because if they made that movie. Signar, I guess, are more, they kind of look normal. Maybe they would fight.
Cador, probably. Well, unless you want to go for the Russian.
Yeah, guy. Yeah. They'd probably fight them.
Or just go with Crix, the typical zombie steampunk movie.
Oh, yeah. That might work, yeah. But then that definitely would be Sucker Punch. So.
Yeah, except you would replace Nazis with pirates. Because Crix is undead zombie pirates.
Right. That distinction would be...
There's a difference between Nazis and pirates, all right?
I don't know. Was Sucker Punch zombie Nazis?
Wait, did
zombie
they just, like, take a bunch of... gamer tropes, throw them in a hat and pull them out. See, undead, zombie, pirates. All right, cool.
Yeah, they might have. They might have. I don't know. I mean, they at least worked it into the world well, and that...
Cool.
Anyway, they probably just, yeah, they chucked it all in a hat, right? Let's see, zombie pirates.
What story specifically? Would it just be those Crix invades?
I guess I should have prefaced that by saying I haven't actually, like, sat down and read the fluff beginning to end.
Would it be a... But, I mean, you're not going to tell the history, really. Yeah, but it'd be, what, an up-and-coming... Are they called warcasters?
Yeah.
An up-and-coming warcaster. He or she is an apprentice to an established one.
You could kind of tell a Star Wars-esque story.
He's the chosen warcaster.
Yeah. You could do something.
Only
like
he
that.
Would have the power to
take down the undead Nazi pirates.
He can control.
There weren't Nazis.
Sorry, I meant zombie.
Yeah, he would have the power. He controlled more of the robots.
Yeah,
I can more of the that. Steam Jacks. Sorry.
Anyway, I thought it was a pretty well developed world with a lot of fluff that you could draw from. Maybe not as
you
developed
know
as Warhammer
do?
40,000, but
you know, we're talking about giving it to a screenwriter who's familiar with. Kind of the game. Mm-hmm. I would give it to somebody who's familiar with it, but doesn't like it to write it.
AKA you.
Possibly me.
If anyone out there is looking for someone to write this,
I may be available. Because sometimes, yeah, you don't want somebody who's just going to be like, oh, this is awesome, you know,
yeah.
Like, all the nuances that, you know, somebody be like, look, no one's going to get that. Mm-hmm. They're going to like this and this, and, you know, yeah, sure, that Warcaster is amazing, and they do really well on the battlefield when you play the game, but the story is boring. Mm-hmm. It's
yeah,
not
probably,
very distinct, and
probably good advice.
And you actually need somebody who's not, like, a heartless sadist as your main character, because
yeah.
No one's going to relate to the guy who's kind of like a vampire.
Yeah, that's why you chose Signar. That's why. For us,
are they all kind of good?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Also, they're all pretty...
I can't even remember any of the Signar Warcasters.
Nah, it doesn't really matter. But they're the most, like, conscionable. They don't go around butchering their own troops. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not very nice.
No. So similarly, you said you should give it to someone who kind of knows about it but doesn't like it. You have therefore precluded yourself from writing the Battletech screenplay.
Ah, but I think, yeah, I would just be, like, throwing too much stuff in.
Yeah.
You know, well, I'm the type of guy who goes, what if the people, you know... The Imperium from Warhammer 40K comes into the inner sphere of Battletech.
I remember that discussion.
Yeah.
Who would win?
Who would win?
The Imperium or the clans?
Well, I'm not going on to, like, forums and discussing this.
No, I am the forum.
I just Google it occasionally.
I have to admit, as a guilty pleasure, I once read a battle report between a Star Destroyer and the Starship Enterprise, but...
Ooh,
a long
time ago, man, Star Trek, yeah. We're getting into a whole other realm of nerddom.
Oh, yeah.
How about you, Chris?
Well, the dream would be Warhammer 40K and the Horus Heresy story. Horus Heresy story. So, but I'll put that to the side because there's rumors that it is going to be made into a movie.
Really?
So, well, I don't know if it's true or not, but I've heard.
Is it going to be one of those animated movies again?
There is an animated Space Marine one coming out.
Really?
Soon. Yeah, I don't think it's going to have theatrical release. Mm. But it looks fanboy kind of style movie, but interesting enough to take a look at.
I remember the one Golden Demon that I went to back when I was in high school, they actually had movie clips playing of live-action,
you know, they've been
Space Marines
and
orcs and gene stealers. And this was, like, before CG, so it was all kind of, like, suits and stuff.
Yeah.
And the Space Marines actually looked... You know what it was? The Space Marines actually looked pretty good. Maybe they were fighting gene stealers. And I think what worked for them is that it was a lot of dark hallways in a Space Hulk and, you know, kind of, like, strobe lighting effects, so you couldn't see everything all at once. And I'm sure if you actually saw the full gene seal, it would look like crap. But
well, even when they made Aliens, a lot of the
they relied on the dark. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember those rumors way back. Jeez, even like in middle school.
It was
I think
96 probably.
Yeah,
so around 16
ages ago.
But yeah, they definitely couldn't do a gene stealing movie though.
No,
because it people go, whoa, hold on, didn't I see this? Wasn't
yeah,
it
right,
called
Aliens?
Aliens?
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah. Oh, but these are so different because no.
It's
how did you not get sued? Yeah,
yeah. It's true too. Like if you made a Warhammer movie, how many people would be cry foul on StarCraft as well? Saying it's just a rip-off of StarCraft.
Even though it predates
StarCraft. Oh, of course, but yeah. How many people know StarCraft versus Warhammer?
So South Korea would be
up in arms, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh, they would probably be the biggest market for a 40K movie.
Come to think of it.
They'd probably rename it.
Just rename it, StarCraft, the movie. Yeah.
I don't remember any of this Horus stuff in the thing, but
there weren't any Zerg in it either.
But that aside, I think the one that I'd like to see made into a movie is Rifts.
How would you do that as a movie?
Well, there's
actually a story.
Yeah.
Look, there is? Okay, so having never played the game, I didn't realize there was an actual story.
Like,
so
Rifts.
Chaos Earth. Chaos Earth is the game that they've released that's kind of that leads up to when the Rifts start opening.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I haven't heard of that. It's a role-playing game, or...?
Yeah, it's part of Rifts.
Okay.
But, well, or as part of Chaos Earth. I don't know. But it's naturally the same system because it's Palladium.
Yeah.
But it's like I got the early Glitter Boys and stuff, and it basically is the rifts are starting to open, and what do you do?
Hmm. That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, I could see that as a story,
well,
actually.
Like, rifts, you know, it's a horrible, horrible system. I'm sorry, I don't want to
therefore, wouldn't it make a horrible, horrible movie?
That's the thing.
No, he's talking about system.
Yeah, I realize that.
System is terrible, but I really enjoy the rift settings. Phase World 2 actually is one of my favorite settings. Sourcebook 2 Phase World is one of my favorite settings.
Blank stare.
I had the same when you were talking about Hordes, man.
I was hoping for a little bit more.
He's talking about it.
All right, sorry.
You're interrupting him telling you about it to tell him that you like him.
All right.
Rifts, I think even the base setting of Rifts would be really good. You have kind of the high technology, the fantasy and magic, and with the Rifts opening, people get pulled from different realms and stuff. I think you could take a modern day character that Everyman we were talking about before, pull him into this insane situation going on where, you know, it's a Nazi-esque culture has taken control of, we'll say, Chicago Chi-Town, where most of the books are set. There's a revolution going on with all these mages and fantastic creatures and stuff. It seems like it'd be a really interesting story.
It'd be almost like an apocalypse movie.
I think it'd be more post-apocalyptic.
It depends which one. If you were doing Chaos Earth, it is, coming of the apocalypse.
Where Earth, I couldn't say, but...
I think you got it because you know the story.
Yeah.
It's like
a regular Joe kind of character with these rifts that are starting to open, and the reaction I see that is a very like kind of zombie, not zombie, but an apocalypse or disaster kind of movie. And then you do it after where it's kind of like a
post-apocalypse. The movie I envisioned was kind of after that because the main setting Chi-Town is very solidly human, but they're actually the bad guys. I figured that would be a good twist in the movie. The characters go there and being regular humans, they can enter into the society but realize that it's actually evil. And
I agree. I think it would be a compelling story. Yeah. There's a lot of different things. It already has like a pretty strong narrative in that. It has complex villains.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they are basically, are they humanity's last hope?
Yeah.
So you could do a little bit of exposition in that this person, for some reason, they're trying to get him to join the coalition. Mm-hmm. Or then you have the mages of drawn about Laszlo or other places that.
Yeah,
that's one place.
Federation of Magic, I think, was it?
Yeah, Federation of Magic are trying to explaining, well, it's better to be free even though you hang out with aliens.
Yeah.
The only problem I could see is that the coalition looks very much like black stormtroopers. Do you think there's enough distinction? And their body armor is very cool,
mm-hmm.
But they look like black stormtroopers with skull heads.
Yeah, you're right.
Do you think it's distinct enough? That
actually, I would go with, they made a source book later on, one of millions of source books, but it was the Coalition Rising, I think it was, and they redesigned all of the art for the Coalition, and the newer versions of them looked really cool. Not very differentiated from stormtroopers, but...
I think I know what you're talking about. They just kind of I thought they looked a little bit too anime. But yeah, that's fun. No, I agree. I think riffs would be interesting. Yeah, you'd have to really keep it tight. Maybe Chi-Town, yeah.
Yeah.
In North America.
Not Chi-Town, I always call it Chi-Town.
Or Chi-Town.
I don't know, but...
Well, neither of us are from Chicago, so...
Boy!
I think I call it Chi-Town because of Chi.
I think actually it is Chi-Town. I'm not sure, but... Yeah, you know, not... Well, it's not necessarily splitting hairs, but definitely not important. Yeah, so elevator pitch, I guess Lord of the Rings meets Blade Runner with Nazis.
Really?
Yeah.
So the heroes are little people.
Lord of the Rings, where's fantastic. Where's the Lord of the Rings? Yeah, magic, okay. Elves, dwarves, strange creatures.
You couldn't have said, like, Harry Potter? Well, maybe that's a
no.
Bit more
true. No, I don't think I could have.
I was just thinking of... I was just... All right, not to split hairs again, that's what I... But I was just thinking, like, Lord of the Rings actually doesn't have that much magic in it.
What's another good fantasy, then?
That's how I was drawing a blank. Dungeons and Dragons.
Anyway, moving on.
But that reminds, you know, I was wondering then maybe if a Torg couldn't be a good movie.
You know, you recommended Torg to us too. I don't know enough about it to actually say so, but
It's basically different reality lords invade the Earth, and there's like the Living Land in North America, which is basically like a dinosaur prehistoric world. Mm-hmm. And basically, when they get enough control over the reality of an area, the reality transforms. Most of France or a lot of Europe is taken over by the cyber papacy. Mm-hmm. Or papacy, cyber papacy.
Techno pope.
Yeah, which is the techno pope. England is.
Wait, were you ragging on his pope hat wearing guys before?
Well, apparently the techno pope looks cool and doesn't wear giant metallic hats.
A pope is fine, but if your rank and file trooper looks like a pope, that doesn't look so good.
Hey, don't they have rounded helmets?
Then you've got like Orosh, like the horror realm in Indonesia. Mm-hmm. Parts.
That would be a scary ass place to have a horror realm.
Nile Empire, like a pulp empire in Africa.
Mm. You could, for that matter though, you could go with, what's it called? GURPS Infinite Worlds as well. That'd be a very similar kind of thing.
I would say, I think time travel movies are tough. Or the paradox. I know it's not necessarily like.
Did you ever see that old TV series Sliders?
Yeah.
Yeah, like I thought something like that, but in that kind of where it's not just kind of a this world to the next world, but actually like really change up the worlds. You know, make one fantasy, make one sci-fi.
Hmm. Well, that would be like Torg, but I think the thing with the difference between like maybe Infinite Worlds and Torg, and why I would say like Torg might be better, it just has a stronger narrative. Uh-huh. You could keep it quite tight. You basically choose one of the realms. Again, maybe it would be the. In North America, but it could easily be, you know, Europeans in the cyber papacy, or England's got like a fantasy realm.
Yeah.
But whatever, just keep it tight to the one realm. But then they make reference to the other places in the world because that could maybe spark some interest if it was, for example, a TV series or a series of movies. If you know, I honestly don't think it would take off too much. But. Yeah. But there is a strong narrative. It's like you've got to take over the world. Yeah. Whereas something like a GURPS Infinite Worlds, they do have like a point why you're going to these different worlds. You're trying. There's a rival group.
It's trying to alter.
Yeah.
Alter time and reality.
Yeah, and manipulate these other places. Mm-hmm. See, right. I don't know.
It's interesting with all these ones that you brought up. I think all of them sound like they would make better series than movies, though.
Well, that seems to be. I mean, you know, when people are talking about movies, I guess ever since, we'll say Star Wars, when they have the trilogy, and movie studios, a lot of times the second movie will make a lot more money at the box office because people, they don't necessarily see the first movie at the theater.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They might hear it from their friends and then they start renting it. Mm-hmm. And so the DVD rentals or DVD sales kind of make up the cost. And then the second movie... then is a lot more, attracts a lot more people because people are familiar with it. And then the third movie attracts even more people.
Well, that's so the people reason start... there's so many remakes coming out nowadays is that it's just that name value is humongous.
Yeah, a known quantity.
Just because Hollywood isn't very creative.
Well, no, actually.
That too,
that's a part of it, to be sure. But nowadays with the budgets of movies,
yeah, if nobody a movie doesn't, wants, yeah, yeah, if it no doesn't one make wants money to take a risk on something that's unknown.
Exactly. And that's it.
I didn't mean to cut you off, sorry.
Oh, no biggie. But, yeah, if you can build up your money in the first weekend by releasing something that everybody knows, so that's the thing. I wouldn't be surprised at all if some of these things that we're talking about eventually do get made into movies if the current trends continue.
Well, I don't think Torg would.
It would, no, not Torg.
Man, they would have
even,
to, like...
Even, like, role players have never heard of Torg.
Yeah, like, I love the role-playing game hobby, but, like, not to be rude to it or anything, I think those movie producers would have to dig pretty deep. They'd be, like, scraping the bottom of the barrel.
They're going
to
get there.
I know they're going to get there, but there's going to be, we have a whole wealth of 80s cartoons that still need to be mined.
Yeah, that's Thundercats. True. That's true. Yeah.
Thundercat hasn't been out yet.
Somebody's already making Thundercat? Damn.
Smurfs are going to be out this summer.
Yeah, Smurfs. I mean, if they're making Smurfs, how far? I think if it weren't for the fact that a terrible version of Dungeons & Dragons had already been made, thus sullied the movie name.
Well, it is an 80s cartoon.
Yeah, I don't think... I would be very surprised if we didn't have it already.
Well, do you think these movies would increase... I mean, self-interest. Do you think movies based off of games would increase the hobby? Increase the popularity?
A little bit, but I mean a minuscule amount. In that, if you had a role-playing game that was based off of a movie, you might be able to get someone to try it out who wouldn't otherwise try it.
Okay, that's the reverse of what I said, but that's
yeah,
fine.
He'd already kind of answered. He said no. He didn't really think so.
Do you think making a movie of an RPG would bring more people into it?
Yeah.
Yes, so I think if someone enjoyed the movie, they would be more tempted to try out the role-playing game.
Okay. Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking about licensed products.
I may have been.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
I think you confused him.
But anyway, yeah, I think it would be... I think yes, but it would be a minuscule amount.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would probably agree with that. Like, I tend to think that... I don't know. I would say, like, people who play role... General movie-going audiences, you'll get role players in that group, but they're probably already established players, or they already know about the hobby. Yeah. And I really doubt you would get kind of general public to
how many
to
girlfriends
try
have
a role
been
playing game.
Have tried out Vampire based on seeing Twilight, and how many of them actually stayed
around
for it?
Yeah, well, you have to say it again. Twilight is not Vampire the Requiem,
which is why I probably didn't get many good players for it.
Yeah, well, do you think now talking about the reverse, like making like a licensed product, like a licensing DC to make a superhero game, or licensing Star Wars to make the Star Wars game. Do you think that actually increases the hobby?
I think it'd be the same answer.
Yeah, probably the same amount.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Like, I think the people that would just attract the role player, the existing role players who actually maybe like DC Comics, mm-hmm. attract them to that particular product as opposed to getting comic book fans who don't play role-playing games to actually play role-playing games.
It just seems that there's a pretty small percent of the population that actually gets into and enjoys doing role-playing as a hobby, mm-hmm. and I think that all that doing licensed product or movies would do would perhaps introduce them to it, and they didn't know they were before. They were in the closet, so to speak.
It's kind of like a subtopic. One thing is, I don't really like what Wizards of the Coast did with Magic. And I don't really agree with some of their business practices. One thing that they have done is they've made their products more accessible to the general public. In other words, they've
through the MMORG?
No, just through where their products are. Mm-hmm. So in other words, you can find Magic the Gathering cards at Walmart, Target, department stores. They're board games based on the D&D world, such as the Ravenloft board game, Shards of Archelon or something, some kind of Dungeons & Dragons board game. You would probably find that in a Toys R Us or a game section at Target or Walmart, one of those places. Whereas one of the problems with introducing people to the RPG games is they actually have to go into the store, mm-hmm. right? Very rarely do you find RPG game books at a bookstore. Sometimes you do. But they're in the comic book section, or they're in a section that kind of
the dark back.
Yeah, exactly. general people don't go there, which is why I was really surprised that I found all those World of Darkness books at the huge, Barnes & Noble store, kind of in the center of the shop.
I don't know.
Barnes & Noble was near where I lived back in the States, and I remember there being quite a few role-playing books there.
Yeah.
The manager was also a big gamer, so that had something to do with it, but...
No, when I went to Florida on vacation, there was a massive comic book section comic book sections in the bookstores that I went into, and as well as a smaller but decent-sized RPG section. Yeah. It happened to be mostly Dungeons and Dragons, but World of Darkness products were there.
But I agree with what you're saying about Wizards of the Coast. They with bring accessibility, because 4th edition is, it seems to have been specifically designed to bring in World of Warcraft players into the hobby.
But I don't think they're doing anything new. They're just trying to do what they were doing before. Because when I lived in Germany, like, I would get all my Dungeons & Dragons stuff at the Stars and Stripes.
Mm-hmm. Stars and Stripes?
It's a bookstore for American personnel. Ah. Army personnel. Hmm. Why a Canadian Army base had it, I don't know. But anyway.
Wouldn't it be the Stripes and Maple Leaves?
Yeah, Leaves and...
I don't know. We obviously didn't
have... Maples are...
Obviously we didn't have a bookstore chain like the Americans did. So, but yeah, there it would be with all the other books. And it was quite easy to find, quite prominent. It was near the cash register. Hmm. So this was in the 80s. So.
Well, there's a lot of role players in the service.
And in the late 80s and early 90s, there were a lot of, like we talked about the Mutant Chronicles, which they had, I think it was called Blood Berets, or it was a board game based off of their role-playing game.
They had another one, because I didn't have Blood Berets. I had, like, Assault on the Citadel.
Yeah, I remember that one.
I've heard both of those names before, but it wasn't
very good.
I can't remember them.
But yeah, they're games that you would find at a toy store.
Hmm. Yes, the point is, like, sorry, not to interrupt you loud, but, like, I knew about Mutant Chronicles from...
But I will anyway.
I knew about Mutant Chronicles from the old miniatures game, and then I found that Assault on the Citadel at, like, a Toys R Us or something.
Yeah.
And I think here's where, like, board games have a leg up on role-playing games. I got non-gamers to play Assault on the Citadel because it was a board game. I could just plop it down in front of them and say, here's the rules. Explain it very sort of simply as you went along, and role-playing games don't have that benefit, right? All you have is the book.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, maybe that's the entire problem, is that you watch a movie that's 2 hours out of your life, and then somebody said, that's a really interesting universe, and you say, yeah, well, by the way, to use Chris's example, Rifts is a game. Rifts a game. That was pretty awesome. Right. Here's the 400-page rulebook.
Yeah,
I don't... If I wanted to read, I wouldn't be going to movies.
Mm. You're absolutely right. And it has a lot to do with time as well. I mean, we have Christos. He'd love to be in all of our campaigns, but he just doesn't have the time.
Right.
Yeah, where like a board game, you can say, oh, you like that movie? Well, here's a game in that setting. Here's a game in that universe. It takes 2 hours to play. The person will say, yeah, sure. I mean, hell, I got my mom to play HeroQuest.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool. Well, thank you for joining us again on Idle Red Hands. Check us out online, www.idleredhands.com. Whew, that's hard to do.
Post on our forums and recommend some movies.
And yeah, we'll see you again next week.
Bye. Turn it.
Idle Red Hands, recorded in Kobe, Japan. See us online at www.idleredhands.com. Music provided by Tripod Jimmy, and the song was Roadkill. Hope you enjoyed it. See you next time.